I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name's David Reed, and joining me, as ever, is Mr. Marek Larwood. Hello, Marek, how are you?
Hello, David.
Hello.
It's getting warmer these days.
It is getting warmer, isn't it? Muggy, tropical.
There's outside.
Children running around playing in the warm summer sun.
Swimming in the river outside your house.
I mean, it's an incredible property I've got.
Yes.
With the river in central London.
Just get out of bloody river, you shit! Don't make me come down there. When I used to go swimming in my local gym.
What?
Yeah. I started to get a peculiar rash on my skin.
Mm.
And I realised it's because they're putting so much chlorine in the pool because of the amount of kids pissing in there,
right,
during swimming lessons, you know, child swimming. It's so basically just pissing.
You'd think it was chlorine rash, not piss rash.
We'd put a mixture of both.
Yeah, it's a terrible combo.
That's how the Toxic Avenger was created.
Yeah.
Chlorine, yeah, and piss.
Rash on rash.
There's a story in the news that Bill Boswell and a couple of other people have tweeted in.
Right.
About a man who sued his first date. Have you heard about this?
No, tell me about it.
The man sued his first date in America, this is,
yeah,
for the price of a cinema ticket because she was texting during the film.
Did he win?
I've got someone actually calling me. It's going through the court now.
Wow.
I mean, the second date's going to be terrible, isn't it?
I mean, on average, though, I mean, I know cinemas are expensive these days, but on average, aren't lawyers' fees a little more expensive?
I mean, it is a mental thing to do, but I presume he's just trying to prove a point.
Yeah.
That using your phone makes you a total arsehole.
Yeah.
Although, I want to know what the date went, if she did something to piss him or rejected him, and he's doing it, the backstory
is. Sounds like, or, you know, if, when we just hear that, it sounds like, oh, he's a bit of a sort of sarcastic hero figure. My guess actually would be he's a total sociopath.
I'm presuming that she basically blew him out after the first date because he's a weirdo and he's doing it as revenge.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I wonder what the real story is.
Yeah.
I mean, who cares? I like to invent... I like to create characters from just a couple of lines in the headlines and build up a whole character profile of someone and presume it to be true.
Fake news.
Fake news, everyone.
Fake news, everyone. Fake news. Before we start, we should say that we are sponsored this week by HerFilmProject.com, who are an organisation that help promote diversity in films and help people get their films made. So if you have a film or you're just interested in this kind of thing, then go to HerFilmProject.com or follow at HerFilmProject on Twitter.
Or do both.
Do both if you've got a load of free time. I mean, I don't know how free you are. How free are you? Are you free?
Well, if you listen to this, it's an hour of your life wasted.
Very free. Just do it whilst you're listening to this.
Don't listen to this.
Even better option.
Yeah.
Just stop listening to this altogether.
Do something valuable with your time.
Yeah.
Crying out loud. When you can actually do something with your life.
Ugh.
All right, let's go on with your week.
Well, we've been to the cinema this week. We've both seen the same film. That happens rarely, doesn't
it? We've both seen both films.
Yes, we're going to talk about two films as per normal, and we've both seen both of them.
Before I start, I should say, even though we're recording this a couple of days earlier, happy birthday.
Oh, thanks very much.
Because this comes out on your birthday.
It does come out on my birthday.
And next week is my birthday.
Yeah, well, our birthdays are a week apart, which is very exciting. So we're going to have a joint party with a bouncy castle and jelly and ice cream.
And milk.
And no one is invited. It's just me and Marek. It's going to be great.
I'm just going to spend it by myself as usual.
Oh, really? Oh, I'm going to hang out near you with my bouncy castle and jelly and ice cream.
Just bounce so yeah. I can see
you're not allowed. You're not allowed, Eddie, but you're not allowed to join in. But I'm going to set up outside your house.
These days, my niece and my nieces and nephew have got bouncy castle. My parents put up their grandparents.
What?
In the garden, just in flakes. You can buy bouncy castles really? For kids. Yeah, they're about like 50 quid. You just get them, put a thing in it, and inflates miniature bouncy castles.
Can you imagine? Really easy.
No, they're really good. They're
really
just cheap.
Wow.
I remember the first time I went on a bouncy castle. I've never been happy again.
My parents, I remember, rented a bouncy castle for one of my birthdays and put it in the garden. But they could only afford a cheap one, which had no walls. So it was basically a bouncy cushion. So it was too high for us. We were quite small to get onto. So we had to be thrown onto it. And then we'd just bounce across and then off the other side onto the ground. It
was was anyone injured?
Oh, everyone was, yeah.
Great.
Yeah, it was a good day. It was a good day. Yeah, no, I am actually going to have a few drinks for my birthday at my gig on Monday, which is Inside the Comedian, Marek. That is my new gig that is going to be at the Bill Murray on Monday night. Why not come down?
Oh, what date is that?
29th.
I might be. I don't know if I'm working that night or not during this programme that I can't talk about, probably.
That's all right. That's all right. Let's talk about the cinema. Let's talk about the cinema. We have been to see the latest in a long line of this franchise's films, and that is Alien Covenant. Alien: Covenant.
I didn't realise that the film of all the couples talking was actually a prequel film. And it was a teaser film.
It was a teaser, or a deleted scene. I'm not sure, but I think it was a teaser, wasn't it?
Because I was expecting that to be
in the film. Yeah, it's not in it.
I thought it was quite a good touch in the end, because I slagged it off, originally thinking it was part of the film.
But it's not. I mean, this film is about, if any of you do not know, it's about a colony ship called the Covenant, which is on its way to colonise a new planet when the sleeping inhabitants get prematurely woken up and then end up finding a new planet they didn't know about before with sinister things on it.
They hear a message.
John Denver sends them a message.
Yes, and they decide, well, it's not really, it's a slight spoiler, is it really? They decide, it's just a setup really, they decide to, oh no, we're not going to go to that planet we've researched.
Yeah.
We'll go to this brand new place.
Yes.
Well, my biggest, I'll just start off saying, I was really looking forward to this film.
Yes. You saw Prometheus, right?
Yes.
What did you think of it?
Well, I've seen Prometheus twice. I saw it at the IMAX, my first ever IMAX thing.
Oh, yeah, I remember, yeah.
And I thought it was really great. But then I saw it on Channel 4, watching it on a normal screen, and I realised I actually thought the IMAX was great.
Yeah.
And the film wasn't great.
No.
The first 10 minutes of the film had so much promise.
Yes.
I
remember when watching Prometheus, this is relevant to Covenant, by the way, we'll get on to why, but I thought the introduction of Michael Fassbender's evil, weird, sinister android alone in the ship playing basketball on a bicycle and watching Lawrence of Arabia was just like, this is good character stuff. I don't know. This is really cool. And it abandoned all of that very quickly and became nonsense.
Yeah. My problem with this film is that I have seen everything pretty much in this film before.
And including even, most of the lines of dialogue as well.
Yeah. It felt just it was a mashup of old Alien films just done not as well.
Mm.
I mean, the great success of Alien, which I think is my favourite, is you know who all the characters are. They're really distinct from Sigourney Weaver to the guy playing Dallas
Tom Skerritt.
Tom Skerritt to Harry Dean Stanton.
Yeah.
And to the guy from Live and Let Die, Kwame, I can't remember his name.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And Ian Holm as well.
Yeah, Ian Holm.
John Hurt.
They're all really distinct characters and different ages, mm-hmm. and you feel as though you know them. So it's the thing we always talk about. You feel like you're invested in them. Problem in this is, yet again, there doesn't really, other than the captain and the lady, the vice captain.
Yes,
I didn't really have any. You don't even know any of the characters. No. Just fleeting.
This is my biggest problem with it as well. Like, broadly speaking, and we'll try not to spoiler it, but it is basically a remake of the first Alien for the first half, and then in the second half is a sequel to Prometheus, with everything that involves, all the disappointing, crushing things that involves. And I agree with you. They develop... The only character they develop at all is Michael Fassbender's robot, who is a robot, so doesn't really have many layers.
And he's very good.
No other character is given any opportunity to grow or change or for us to discover more about them. The only thing they all have, and it's identical to each other, is they have a partner, like a husband or a wife, and at some point they'll be sad if they die. That's it. Everyone's got the same character.
I mean, they almost give characters their names. It's almost like watching the Seven Dwarfs. Oh, there's Grumpy. Oh, there's Doc.
There's Mr. Grumpy and Mrs. Grumpy. Oh, no, Mr. Grumpy's even grumpy because Mrs. Grumpy got killed.
And that's my other problem is, and we've talked about this before, people getting over the death of their spouse within half a day.
Sure. Sure.
Or within the same sit. I'm just going to mourn now immediately.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm okay again.
For me, this, like so many blockbuster films at the moment, felt more like incredibly expensive fan fiction than it did a film made by an auteur.
I think that's a really good way of putting it.
You know, it knew its lore inside out and was, you know, but it had to bring back everything it said before and developed no characters, was incredibly ham-fisted at telling its story, and told it all with no elegance or charm whatsoever. It even just ripped off other things, in that there's a speech where a character is being obviously megalomaniacal, and so how does a character show he's megalomaniacal without me bothering writing a new character? Oh, we can just quote "My name is Ozymandias, King of Kings" from The Watchmen again. Just do that. I mean, it's even a film that Billy Crudup, who plays the captain in this, was in, and it's just, you can't do that. You can't just go, well, that's not Alan Moore's thing. That's all of our thing now, isn't it? We all know megalomaniacal characters quote that speech, and that's how we know they're megalomaniacs. No! Write a new fucking character, you lazy hacks!
I thought Billy Crudup was really good, though.
He is good. He's a good actor. And I thought Michael Fassbender had far too much to do.
Yes.
And they should have spent some time with some other actors.
I don't know why they have to do almost too much in a film.
Well, this is it.
Make the whole thing
smaller. It is simultaneously far too complicated and at the same time paper thin. Like, there's zero depth to it, and yet they seem to take far too long doing something very simple. Mm. Like, it's frankly dog shit. Like, I thought by the time it got to the end, it ended three times as well. Like, they have, as you'll probably expect, they had the big showdown with an alien.
I mean, it's
all, and then they had a big showdown with an alien again, almost identically, you know, 15-minute chunks all, after
it,
each other.
And it's such a rip-off of... it's so lazy.
Yes,
incredibly lazy. Aliens, when they... And everyone's seen Aliens. The fight with Sigourney Weaver using the machine at the end. It's really clever.
Beautiful.
So they're introduced, and then it's sort of... It doesn't feel, and that's got sort of two endings, but it doesn't feel stuck on when she gets into the machine. That's great.
Because it's something new. This is nothing just, new.
Yeah, we're going to go through this section of the ship, which you're only going to see again in the finale.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But it's not a badly made film. I thought when I was watching it, I'm quite enjoying it, but I've seen it all before. I know exactly what's going to happen.
I think the script is dog shit. I think it's total dog shit. I agree, it's a well-made film. The action sequences are good. The music and the shots are creating tension very nicely. But the story itself makes no sense. And there's no characters I give a shit about. I don't really care about any of it.
Yeah.
It's... And also, it descends as it gets... It almost gets bored of itself as it goes on. Like, to the point where... And this isn't a spoiler, because it's not really plot relevant. To the most gratuitous, pointless, late-in-the-day shower scene I have ever seen in anything. It was like he got tired and horny whilst he was writing it. It was pathetic. If that was in a B-movie, you'd go, oh, come on, guys, that's a bit shit.
Yeah.
Like, it's... really disappointing, because I hated Prometheus. I thought it was total trousers, and I think this is a better film, but yes, too much of it is Prometheus again.
Like, I would agree with you.
Over explaining everything, and this is a bit of a spoiler, so skip ahead if you want, but the very idea that the origin of the alien started on Earth just makes it not an alien. It's no longer mysterious and frightening and part of the enormous void of space. It's just something from home. It doesn't... It makes it worse. Why do people keep trying to go back and justify things that were sort of amazing? Sorry, I got a tickle in my throat. I was very disappointed.
I just felt that feeling when you walk out of the cinema and it's instantly forgettable.
Yeah.
I was disappointed because I thought it could have been good, and it makes me question what's going on with Ridley Scott when he could produce such amazing films.
Yeah.
And then it's when I was at university, I had to do a dissertation for this film studies thing, so I chose Coppola and whether he was an auteur or just it was by fluke. And there was a period when he did The Godfather, Apocalypse Now, the conversation, The Godfather 2, and you think, oh, he's amazing.
Yeah.
And he went on to produce, well, make films like Jack and other films, which I can't remember, which were shit.
Yeah.
And made you wonder whether...
he was just surrounded by the right people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel the same about Ridley Scott, actually, because if you watch Jodorowsky's Dune, which is about a madman trying to make an adaptation of Dune, and it never gets made, but he assembles the most incredible team. The person who has picked apart the carcass of Jodorowsky's Dune more than anyone is Ridley Scott. Like, Dan O'Bannon, who wrote the script for Alien, is his scriptwriter. H.R. Giger comes on board to do his art design and monsters. Ridley Scott just takes it. I believe it's Vangelis is going to do the music, which he takes for Blade Runner. And everything is just taken from this one great artist. And it's like, oh, okay. Are you actually not that talented? I mean, he's done some decent films since, but a lot of stinkers as well.
I just don't understand it. I don't understand why he's remaking the same film over and over again.
Yeah, well, for money, isn't it? It's for money. This brings up another thing that I went with my brother and ended up talking about this afterwards, sort of half discovering what I was saying whilst I was talking. And I wonder if with the enormous budget blockbuster films now, we've got a language problem, in that China didn't used to be a market. It was always assumed, if you talk to anyone, that China would just pirate everything, so there's no point making films the Chinese want to watch. That is no longer the case. And the same is true for, you know, India and, you know, everywhere, basically everywhere, where you could argue there's now a larger market who don't speak English than do. And so when studios want their films to be universal, want to be watched by the whole world, there's no point doing nuanced character development because it doesn't survive translation into subtitles. Yeah. So you, in order to keep everyone with you and what's going on, you just have people sort of blankly state their emotions and their purpose at all times and just keep on running like a ride, because people won't get it otherwise. You know, like when, if we watch a Chinese film or even a French film, something a bit closer to home, you can't always tell if they're a good actor or not.
Yeah.
Because you're reading the subtitles and you go, yeah, but I can't quite tell how realistic you are. And something does just get lost.
Yeah.
And I wonder if the American studios have realised this and they go, there's no point pulling our hair out over character and a unique voice and giving them sort of subtlety and shade, because it just won't translate and no one cares.
So you're saying, I'm just reading between the lines,
yes,
that we need to bomb China
and
India.
No.
If we want to see films that we like.
Well, I mean, that's one option. I mean, if there was no one left alive over there, then it would no longer be a problem.
There are many other options, David.
Well, I do. I mean, I can't come up with any off the top of my head. Oh no, no, I'm just saying it's a looking to please everybody at the whole time, and we don't all speak the same language. I just wondered if it is now a concern where they go, because I think it's undeniable. Big budget films have become rides, not stories. You know, they're just people with sort of universally understood motivations, very simple, and emotions, just ploughing through a sort of incredibly expensive CGI ride until they get to the end. There's no actual exploration of being a person going on.
Superhero films.
Well, are exactly what I'm talking about, but so's everything else, you know?
So you're saying, then...
Yeah.
If we're not going to bomb China and India, we need to force them to learn English.
Well, they can already speak
the nuances,
English.
The nuances of it.
Or we can learn to speak Mandarin, you know.
Oh, and fuck off, mate.
No, I don't know the solution.
Oh, you come over here and you start making us speak Chinese just so you can enjoy your films.
Right, mate,
you
it might
make
work.
Me sick.
Now, it's not really a foreign language argument. It's more, I wonder if the studios just don't bother because the level of understanding is different when you pass through a language barrier, so they made films that do work abroad.
There's a great series, I don't really listen to Mark Kermode, but he did a good series, because he's a rival podcast.
Yes, of course.
But he did three podcasts on the business of film.
Right.
Which was, he was saying the same thing, and it was fascinating, that the action films set in Russia.
Yes.
Like the Fast and Furious model, for example.
Yes.
So, because it's a little to translate, because it's all action rather than dialogue.
Yes.
So, and that's why it was changing the... It's the same thing you're saying, changing the face of the blockbuster.
Yes. One thing I've heard, and this may be completely spurious, I'm not sure, but then it's very hard to sell...
Mark Kermode's got two dicks.
I've heard he's got...
It's a flat space. It's a DVD player.
That's right. He calls it his whack-on. Because it's like a flat, shiny tablet surface.
It must be true.
What I've heard is that it's very hard to sell a female-led action movie in China or Japan, which is partly why the superhero franchises have been so reticent to do one. So, I mean, that might not be the case. I've just heard that. But no, there may be nothing to it, but it would make sense to me that... They keep it very, very simple and straightforward. But like, I remember going to see, I talked about it on this podcast, a Chinese film in at the Odeon on Leicester Square. Was it called Mr. Six, I believe? And there were loads of Chinese people in the screening with me, and they would be laughing at stuff that in translation wasn't a joke, but it was clearly the nuance of their culture and their, you know, their understanding of the line that didn't translate just in the way. And this, it just got me thinking the same must be true in reverse. That there's so much is between the lines that they've just got rid of the between the lines, and now all we have is lines.
Mm. One thing, another point I would like to make about the new revamped Alien series is that it made me realise, or has made me realise, just how great Sigourney Weaver is in all of those films. Her presence is just incredible.
Yes.
And the other actors, these are good actors playing the sort of female lead roles, but there's something quite uniquely sort of special about the way she did it. It was great.
I did think Catherine Waterston, who plays Daniels, was very good, though. But she was given very little to do.
Yeah.
You know, she was filling in a lot of blanks that weren't in the script.
How many Davies did you give it?
I think I give it 5. I think it's a thoroughly mediocre film that if you were hoping that it would be the reboot of the Alien franchise, I'm sorry, you've been lied to. It's Prometheus 2. It isn't a new Aliens 1, it's Prometheus 2. They've just been forced to put the Alien name on it for branding reasons.
Yeah, I give it 6, I think. It's a good... If I hadn't seen any of the Alien films and you watched this, because the actual idea of Alien is really good and the Alien's really good, but the Alien does not seem as scary in any of the films, even though it's trying to be scarier, but it's not as scary as it is Alien or Aliens.
I think it's incredibly hard to be innovative enough to meet expectation. Because, of course, when Alien was made, they were pioneering a lot of new sort of technologies in terms of the puppetry and the look of it. And, you know, Geiger obviously was a genius that nobody had sort of come close to. And they've not really innovated beyond that at all. All they've done is CGI, so they can. There's more options with what the alien can do without it looking like a man in a costume.
But that's the thing, I think the alien, in Alien, the alien came across as sneaky and intelligent.
Yes.
You've actually got to give the alien a character rather than he's a monster.
Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. But also, the monster genre has been copying Alien ever since Alien came out. So we've seen all of this many, many times over. And it's very hard to innovate. And innovation is risky. And because the budgets of these things have gone up and up and up and up and up, no one is willing to risk a big budget film that is innovative. It just makes them kind of disappointing. For me as well, another point on this is, in the same way to Prometheus, I thought the people in this were irritatingly stupid in their reactions to things, and that to me is a poor script. They were less stupid than Prometheus, where in Prometheus they were all supposed to be scientists and they were doing the dumbest things at all times. They may as well have been, you know, a school trip for the mentally subnormal versus aliens.
Film.
But these ones were colonists and they were equally dumb. I mean, going onto an unknown planet covered in wildlife and just going and prodding things that release spores and you're sniffing them and you say, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Well, this is now frustrating because I now want you to die because I think you deserve it because you're idiots.
It's like putting your hand up your bum before you eat your dinner.
That's right. Or, you know, well, right.
Or someone else's bum.
Sure, because you know where your bum's been, I hope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I hope so. Well, that's it. I think it's now time. Or do you want to say that bit? I feel uncomfortable doing that.
Why do you feel uncomfortable?
It's time for this. People have responded to our kind request for letters. And letters, not lettuce.
No one's responded to our kind request for
letters. We haven't got any letters, but we've got some letters. And quite a few of them. So if we don't read yours out, don't get angry.
Yeah. We have a very angry listenership, don't we?
Yeah. Shall I read the first one?
Sure.
It's from Darren Rogers, Hidden Gems. Hi, guys. Just wanted to point you in the direction of a few hidden gems I found on Sky Movies last week. The first one is Surveillance, directed by Jennifer, daughter of David Lynch. It's about two cops investigating a serial killer in a small town. Julia Ormond and Bill Pullman play detectives. It's a very creepy film and very well shot. It has a 6.4 on IMDb. I would give it 8 Darrens. Also, The Last Dance, which was renamed Sticky Notes in some countries. It says Ray Liotta as a father dying of cancer, who summons his daughter back to assist him as he approaches death. Wasn't expecting much, but beautifully shot and quirky. Has a 5.8 on IMDb, which I think is a bit harsh. 7 Darrens for me. Have you seen either of these? Have any other listeners seen them? Also, really enjoy Nocturnal Animals. 8 Darrens. Take care. Darren.
What were the names of those two again, just to remind people?
The films were Surveillance.
Surveillance.
And Sticky Notes.
Sticky Notes.
I've got a feeling I might have seen Surveillance, I don't know how old it is, on television. But Surveillance is a sort of name you're going to call a film that's going to be an average film.
A sort of a film from the early 2000s as well.
A film from the early 2000s that's going to be just good enough to possibly get a later showing on BBC Two.
I mean, it's got a Metacritic score of 31 out of 100, so...
Wow.
So people did not like Surveillance, but that's interesting if it's a hidden gem, hidden behind its piss-poor rating.
I haven't seen either of those, but I have seen Nocturnal Animals, which I thought was good, but got quite criticised of being sexist.
Oh, well, the New York Times gave Surveillance 0. So that's quite harsh, isn't it? Who else has written in?
Well, I'll read this very quick one. I'll give you a longer one, shall I? Because this is from Eddie Taylor. Great show. Well done, guys. A lot of film review show that I can identify with. I love Commode, but I don't know what the fuck he's on about half the time. You guys speak in a language I can understand. Just keep doing what you're doing. Brilliant. Thanks, Eddie. I mean, I don't know if he's saying that we're less articulate. Well, I am less articulate than Commode, but there we go.
Mm.
And if you want to review our podcast, you can go to
iTunes and click on 5 stars. That's how you activate the review.
And it's the only way
process.
You can do it.
Yeah.
And if you put less than 5 stars, we've got a guy who tracks you down and is able to kill you legally.
That's right. That is illegally.
He
has a license to kill.
Yeah. He's called the Dick Slicer. And what
right.
he does, he just goes or any genitals, but he's quite, it's normally
dicks are his favourite.
Yeah,
yeah.
But he will kill you no matter what sex you are.
Yeah, that's right. Well, this one is from Luke Sadler, who the subject is Aziz Light, and he says, "Hi, Marek, David, and Buddy. Luc Besson's The Fifth Element is 20 years old this year.
Oh God!
And I think it still holds up as a great piece of cinema. Great performances from Gary Oldman, Chris Tucker, Bruce Willis and Mila Jovovich, surprisingly, played out in a colourful and bonkers world, make for an enjoyable romp of a film. Since there are plenty of other films that are still excellent years after they've been made, my question to you is, what film you once loved and have now diminished, or worse, utterly dog shit when watched again after a gulf of years? Keep watching the films. Cheers, Luke." I agree with him about Fifth Element. I absolutely love Fifth Element, and I think it deserves to be celebrated more than it is. It's a bit too mad for some people, but I think it's a great little sci-fi romp. Also, Jean-Paul Gaultier did all of the costumes. He personally dressed over 400 extras as well.
You're joking.
No.
I think I've only watched it once after it came out.
And it's got a piece of music that was written for a alien to sing, so it's supposed to be impossible for a human being to hit all the notes. And they got an opera singer along, and there were only 2 notes she couldn't hit. Like, it's an incredible thing. It's crafted with such love as well. In terms of films that diminished on rewatching, one that I thought was brilliant when it first came out, I was probably the perfect age for it though, was GoldenEye.
Oh, really?
Rewatched it recently, I was like, oh no, this has not aged well at all.
That's a shame.
It's sort of really uncharming.
My one was Condor Man, the first time I ever saw it in the cinema. Yeah. And I watched that again, and I thought that was really poor the second time. And
The Mummy, another one I rewatched recently. I think we spoke about it, but yeah, it's really sort of charmlessly 90s in its quirkiness.
Here's my controversial one. You know, you talked about, but I watched Ghostbusters again recently.
Right. Oh, hello.
And it feels a bit too laddie for the 21st century, and slightly a bit the way they talk about Sigourney Weaver, the way Bill Murray pervs on Sigourney Weaver,
it's a bit too creepy.
It's totally inappropriate.
Yeah,
it's just basically just trying to as a sex object.
Mm.
And what he does is not really charming at all. So
that's
it came across quite poorly in that regard.
Have you heard the story? I believe it's to do with Ghostbusters, about why they cast Sigourney Weaver.
No.
Is that she was late to her casting, and apparently the director and the casting director and people who sat in the room, all they heard was coming up the corridor, shit, fucking, as she was pelting it up the corridor, and then there was a 1 second pause, and then she walked into the room, the calmest, most sort of together.
Really?
Yeah. Just composed herself and came in.
I'm always late, or I'm always really sweaty. I think I sweat.
Well, that's why you don't have the career of Sigourney Weaver now.
Yes,
well, you need to learn to mask.
I'm always. You come off the tube, and you're stuck in a really weird hot room.
Yeah.
And there's no ventilation.
I once went up for an advert for Lloyd Grossman pasta sauce, where you had to...
Which flavour?
It was all of them. It was for all of them.
What?
Yeah, all of them. Yeah, I know. It was the big one. The big one. Would have been really good.
Yeah.
But you had to do an impression of Lloyd Grossman. And to help us, in the waiting room, they had Lloyd Grossman himself saying 3 sentences on repeat. And I was sat there waiting for 45 minutes with this going
on.
Oh,
God.
And then when I went in, I was so tense and wound up. It was horrible.
Don't go to Avert
Castings. What a miles.
Avert Castings is literally how to dehumanise someone.
Absolutely, yeah.
In the course of 20 minutes.
It's an abattoir, isn't it?
Yeah. Shall we read another letter? I just need to go on to... I've just moved away from the letters page and now I'm just taking the listeners through the process. And now I'm clicking on to...
fascinating insight, isn't it?
This is from Jack Cooper, Frustrating Films. Hi, Marek, David and Buddy. First of all, it's entirely possible I sent you an email on the subject before and forgotten. However, I recently watched Starship Troopers and found it an incredibly frustrating experience.
Huh.
I absolutely loved the first hour, 9 out of 10 stuff, but the rest of the film lost its way as all of its charm and satire disappeared and became a tedious action scene that pretty much ignored all the interesting characters it spent an hour building up. I was wondering if there are any films where you've had a similar experience, or are there any films you found frustrating for other reasons, Jack? It's quite similar to what we were saying. Really,
it is a similar question. I'd be interested to watch Starship Troopers because it's one I really loved when it came out. In fact, I bought it so quickly that I had a flipper version of the DVD where you had to turn it over halfway through. It's before they did the dual layer technology.
Oh, well, you talked about this the other day.
So the way DVDs manage to get an entire film that's over an hour and 20 minutes, basically, onto one disc is that the information is put on two separate layers, and that means that about halfway through the film, depending on the length of it, there is a brief pause while your DVD player refocuses the laser to look at the second layer. And they try and hide it in blackouts, but they don't always have an opportunity in the film. So you may have noticed in your DVDs there's a moment about halfway through where suddenly it freezes frame for less than a second and then carries on, and that's why. But before this, they had flippers where you'd have half the film on one side and then you'd turn it over, probably have an interval, maybe go and get an ice cream, and then you'd put the second half on.
I didn't even know that until we were watching a film together and you told me about it.
Yeah, yeah.
I think for years I just assumed it was a DVD sticking.
Well, DVDs for ages, under special features, they sort of had dual-layer technology written on the back or something. I don't think they bother now.
One more letter?
Yeah.
Do you want to read it?
Yes. This is from Fran Jolly saying hello again. The message reads, good afternoon/morning. You seem to be a bit short of letters, so I thought I'd help out my fave film-related podcast. You have not mentioned the IMDb game for a while and have been wondering what your current scores are. It would be lovely to have a guest, as I miss the casting game and having comrades bringing in their film choices. And finally, when are you going to both collaborate on a short film together? It would be a treat. All the best from a very demanding fan. Fran Jolly, keep watching the films. Well, thank you, Fran. Lovely set of questions. Well, yes, we'd love to have a guest on. It's simply about organising our lives properly. But we will have one on soon. The IMDb game, I haven't looked in a while. Do you want to have a look?
I looked. I think I read this.
I think La La Land has screwed up my score because I've not seen it and it went quite high immediately,
didn't
it?
I think it's dropped out quite fast.
Oh, has it?
Yeah. I am still down. My Chaplin is my downfall. And I think it's The Great Dictator I haven't seen, so I think I'm on 54.
Well, I'm scanning through now, scanning.
Do you want me to do some special effects for you?
Yeah, go on then.
Boop, 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 boop.
Oh, they're very special, aren't they? No, still seeing it, still seeing all of that. Good, getting on through. Yep, I've seen Chaplin, racing ahead here, seen that. Ah, 41, The Pianist, I have not seen.
Oh, that's a nice film.
So is it City Lights?
Which one's that? What number is that?
35.
I think I've seen City Lights.
And Modern Times? We both watched those ones, didn't we?
Yes, and I haven't seen The Great Dictator, which is 54.
54, okay. Yeah, I've seen The Great Dictator. So I need to see The Pianist. It's something about Aidan Brody that I just go, oh, I can't be arsed.
He was going to be the huge big thing, and he sort of made a crap film, wasn't he?
Yeah. He made that Predator remake, and then everyone went, nah.
Well, do you know what?
What's that?
In honour of your birthday,
yes,
we got sent a couple of DVDs, and we watched one of them this week.
Yes, we did. So, who sent us this?
Anne Coletta very kindly sent in her favourite film, which is a Japanese film called House, or Hausu, Hausu,
which means house, I assume. Hausu!
You coming round my house, Sue?
Yes, Sue. this is a 1977 horror comedy psychedelic horror comedy about girls going to visit one of them's auntie's house, and then it's an evil house, isn't it? I mean, it's an odd film, this one.
And we've just finished watching
it. We have literally just finished watching it, so we've probably not collected our thoughts together quite enough
the
yet.
The feeling to me was a bit like Dario Argento's Suspiria.
Yes.
Or what's the one that Danielle made us watch?
Beyond the Valley of the Dolls.
Yes.
Yes, it's very much that era of psychedelia, and with a bit of exploitation in this, I think, thrown in as well. But it's by a director called Nobuhiko Obayashi, who had only done music videos before, and I think that shows. The whole thing is sort of set to music. It's like, it could almost be montage, the entire thing, couldn't it?
It's only when you see something done really weirdly that you realise how normal
conventional most things are. That how everything is told the same way.
So
you
from
know?
The very first scene is at the school, and they're all going to go on a school trip to this nice place together, but it falls through. Meanwhile, the hero of the film, Angel, goes back home to a weird balcony with a strange sunset.
And it's all weirdly creepy dad.
A really creepy dad who's come back from holiday, and he's bought her a gift. What is it? A new bloody mum.
A new mum. Who, wherever she goes, the wind is blowing on her. On nobody else, the wind is just blowing on her. Now, it felt very anime. Do you know what I mean? In the choices it made for editing and characterisation and all the rest, you know. It almost was imagining things in frames, which I thought was quite interesting. I mean, it's a bizarre film. If you've not heard of it, doing some reading about it, the director was asked to make a version of a film like Jaws after Jaws came out.
Let's get that straight.
This is nothing like Jaws. It's absolutely nothing like Jaws. And yet, it was a huge hit in Japan. And it didn't come out in the States until the 2000s. And it's now become a massive cult hit over there. For its weirdness, basically.
The viewing experience is a bit like... Say you injected sugar into your eye.
Yes.
You would have a rush of pleasure, or not for maybe...
A really gammy eye.
Yeah, you'd have a rush of pleasure for the first... You're thinking, this is really interesting, I feel quite excited by this.
Yeah.
And then you feel quite a bit nauseous, which is the experience of the film.
Yeah.
And what's good is the sort of 70s effects, which they've tried to do some weird stuff, and the effects... Obviously, they didn't have the technology then to do it well, so it's a bit...
It's a bit like stuff that we would have played around with video cameras in the 90s. Like, by the 90s, we could do it at home.
As if someone's put a special effects button on the camera. I think, oh, well, I'm going to press this weird outline and everything in red. but it's refreshingly inventive.
If you like psychedelic films of this period, then this is sort of a must, actually. We've talked about Beyond the Valley of the Dolls that Danielle Ward brought in once before, and Suspiria as well, you were saying.
Mm.
But it is very much of that ilk. It feels like a film that the maker of The Love Witch, which I talked about a while back, probably watched and loves as well.
Yeah, it's a comedy horror, but it's not scary, and it's not funny.
It's too bizarre to be scary, as in it's too stupid. And it isn't funny. So it is just sort of odd. And you're watching an odd thing.
But you'll see effects and weird things that you've not seen in any films before.
Yes.
Just some bits of the screen pausing, other bits of the screen playing, weird deaths, weird things aren't really explained.
Yeah.
A mix between sort of animation and... real film. It's a bit like Pete's Dragon, but on LSD.
It's a bit like, I think it's like Scooby-Doo on LSD, basically. That there's, each character has their own sort of thing. They're very much archetypes, aren't they? It's because there's seven girls who go into this house. And one of them is called Mac, which is short for stomach. One of them is called Angel, because she's beautiful. One's called Prof, because she's clever.
Yeah, they basically go to stay at Angel's auntie's house, that she's completely forgotten about. And hasn't written to in, well, the whole of her life. And all the friends decide to turn up at this house in the middle of nowhere.
I mean, that seems rude to me, if anything.
I mean, they deserve to have bad things happen to them in the house.
think it's imposing upon an elderly relative.
Of course.
Like that. Yeah. I don't know if I enjoyed it.
I don't know either. I mean, thank you very much, Anne, for saying we're very grateful for it. It's a very kind present for you to send that to us. And it was definitely an interesting film. Whereas, you know, Alien Covenant is completely forgettable. This is the opposite.
Oh, there will be plenty. The thing is, because we've just watched it as well, we haven't been able to do that test of whether images and things stay with you. Because actually, you end up changing your opinion on things when that happens, I find. You know, like, as you quite rightly said, Alien is utterly forgettable. There's very little in that where I go, oh, I'll be thinking about that again. You know, it was just like, yeah, come on. Whereas this, there's lots of stuff with a cat that's quite good, isn't it?
Suspiria's haunted me for months and months, last couple of years. And I think a lot of images in this weird film will stay with me. It's gradually turned me more mental.
Yeah. But if you'd like to check it out, then it is Hausu, or also called House.
I don't know. How many Davies would you give it? It's impossible to give it a mark, really.
I think it kind of is.
I don't know whether I enjoyed it or not.
I've no idea. Are we still alive?
It's not the first time I tried ice cream.
What I think we haven't mentioned about it, actually, which I read, which I think is quite interesting, is that the director asked his young daughter for things that would be scary to happen in a house. And so it does have quite a odd take on the threats compared to other haunted house films. You know, the things that get the girls are quite odd. You know, like a load of mattresses falling on
futons.
You. Futons. Yeah, they're futons, apparently. But, I mean, they were mattresses, weren't they?
So that's why futons are much worse for you than the traditional sprung mattress.
Because they can devour you whole, turn you into a plastic doll.
Yes.
Yeah. Or, you know, piano keys eating your fingers. It's all...
One thing I would say, in The Handmaiden as well, a few weeks ago, there is a sense of some pervy Japanese older man with needless nudity and sort of aimed at sort of teenage girl sort of nudity, which is a
young
bit,
teenage girls
makes you think. It's just it makes you feel as though it's a slightly pervy.
Yeah, times. There's unnecessary bath scenes and unnecessary talking about pants. And all that kind of stuff, which is just a little unsettling. But I think it comes from a sort of place of infantilising women a bit. I don't know what it is, but it's certainly... That is probably the most unsettling part of the film. I would say. But the rest is so high camp, it's hard to be scared. But no, it's certainly interesting. And from reading about it, it seems to be a bit of a cult classic. So if you like your obscure films, then track it down.
Cool. Well, that's about it, isn't it?
Yeah, that is it for this week.
It's David's birthday, so if you want to donate and give all your money to David...
Yeah, then go to filmfandango.com and click the donate button. And make sure you put as an added message, I don't want Marek to get any of this, because then it'll
I don't want him to have... Anyway, I want this to be spent on David's birthday cake.
Yeah, and then next week we'll do this for Marek.
I don't want the bald idiot to get any of this, or even have a slice of it.
And if you'd like to write to us, then please keep doing so. Again, filmfandango.com, and you can write to us from there. But we'll be back next week. Keep watching the films.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.